For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Watch and Be Ready, as we pick up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, praise the Lord, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God's wrath is going to come upon the earth. Jesus said, quoting from Daniel, "And there shall be a time of great tribulation, such as the world has never seen before or ever see again." And in the book of Revelation, from chapter 6 through 18, we have details of that great judgment of God that will be coming upon the earth. This great judgment that is coming in the book of Revelation is called in the book of Revelation the day of his wrath, the wrath of his indignation being poured forth. Call unto the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of the Lamb and from his judgment, for the day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? As far as the church is concerned, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation. But Jesus identifies Satan as the culprit behind the tribulation that the child of God experiences living on this alien world. Tribulation is being God and his judgment as he comes to judge those who are dwelling upon the earth. And when the wrath of God is poured out, we have not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord. And that is why we should be watching and we should be sober. Jesus said that that day is going to come and catch many as a snare. And so pray that you'll always be accounted worthy to escape these things that are going to be coming to pass upon the earth and to be standing upon before the Son of Man. For as a snare shall it come upon the earth. And therefore he warns us against drunkenness, against surfeiting, against living after the flesh, that we be caught unaware. And so the same message of watching, be sober, be diligent. The Lord has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That is the whole thing. Whether I'm dead or alive, I'm going to be living together with him. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And if you live and believe in me, you'll never die." I'm never going to die. I'm going to always live for Jesus and with Jesus. And whether, you know, in this body or in my new body, I'm going to be living with him. So as Paul said, whether we wake or sleep, we are living together with him in one form or the other, in this body or my new one. I won't die. I will be living together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and build up one another even as you do. And so the building up of one another in Christ, the encouraging of one another in the Lord. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So those that God has chosen to have the oversight of the body of Christ, to minister to them and admonish them in the truth of God, Paul said, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those that are unruly. Now, he's going to give us a bunch of little exhortations here. Warn those that are unruly. You see a person that is not living right? Warn him. God called Ezekiel to warn him and told him the importance of his ministry of warning those unrighteous people and those righteous who had turned from their righteousness. Comfort the feeble-minded. We have a tendency many times to become annoyed with the feeble-minded, you know, to pass them off. But we are told here we ought to be comforting the feeble-minded. God bless them. You know, our hearts should be going out to them, and we should be patient and seek to comfort them rather than being brusque and short. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Oh, isn't that difficult? How we love to get even, but see that we don't. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Again, I would call your attention to the fact it doesn't say for everything give thanks. That would be hypocritical. I cannot honestly give thanks for a lot of things, but I can give thanks in them. I can't give thanks really for the problems that I face, but I can give thanks in the problems. I don't give thanks for the trials, but I give thanks to God in the trials. If I've lost everything, I don't thank God for the fact that I've lost everything, but I thank God in the losses, not for the losses. Because I know that God is in control of my life. I know that God is controlling those things that happen to me because I've committed my life to Him. And I know that God loves me. And I know that God is working out a wise plan in my life, and He is wiser than I. And I know that God can see the long term where all I can see is the short term. And so in everything that happens to me, because God is controlling those happenings, because God is governing my life, I give thanks to God in everything, that He loves me, that He's in control, that He is guiding the things of my life, and that He's going to work out His good eternal plan and purposes in me. In everything, give thanks. Quench not the Spirit. Now, a lot of people use this scripture to tolerate all kinds of foolishness going on within the body of Christ. You know, someone screaming outlandishly and running up and down the aisle screaming and all. And in their second pass, Romaine catches them and takes them outside. And you know, the first thing they say to Romaine, The Bible says, quench not the spirit. Well, that's not what Paul is talking about. There is a spirit that is to be quenched, the human spirit. We are told, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How is the Holy Spirit grieved? How do we quench the Spirit? You know, one of the greatest quenches of the Spirit is a lack of love. That's how we quench the Spirit. The Spirit's work in our hearts and in our lives can be hindered by bitter feelings, by hatred and jealousy and animosity and those kind of feelings. That's what quenches the work of the Spirit within your life. And so it's really talking about that work of God's Spirit within your life. Don't quench it. The fruit of the Spirit, you see, is love. And that is what the Spirit is seeking to produce in you, is that love. Don't quench the Spirit. Open up to love. Open up to be an instrument of love. Open up to be a channel of God's love. Release yourself to love. A lot of times we have a hesitancy in this because we've been burned in the past. We've been hurt. I love them and then they rejected me and we feel so rejected that we begin to close up and we won't open up to love. And as we close up and tighten up, we're actually quenching the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. And of course, with prophecy, that is necessary to be proved, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, when one prophesies, let the others judge. And so it is tied together here. Despise not prophesying, and yet prove all things. I've had some people give me some off the wall, thus saith the Lord, prophecies. Several years ago, I had a man prophesy that I was going to be carried out of the church in a casket within 2 weeks. He didn't like the fact that I didn't go along with his Jesus-only doctrine. And so God was going to judge me. He had this vision, and he prophesied, thus saith the Lord, you know, in 2 weeks they're going to carry you out in this black coffin. Well, I knew that was wrong because my wife would never get a black coffin from me. An interesting thing, I had that man's funeral service within 2 weeks. So I just told my wife, evidently he saw the wrong face in the casket. Prove all things. Someone gives you a prophecy, just don't accept it. Prove it. Don't despise it, though. Take it. And I get a lot of thus saith the Lord's and a lot of mail and, you know, a lot of people feel that God has used them as the channel to speak to me. And I want to be open. God knows my heart. I want to be open. There, a lot of times, you know, you get sort of burned on these things. You think, you know. And you don't even bother to read them because there's a certain kind of a pattern to them all. And yet, I don't want to despise prophecy. I want to be open. I want God to be able to speak to me through ever. And I can recognize, I accept that God can use others to speak to me. And I am open to God speaking to me however. I want God to speak to me however he wants to speak to me. But on the other hand, I feel that it is incumbent that I do prove all things and then hold fast that which is good. I think that this is Chuck Missler's sort of motto whenever he speaks. He just says, hey, I'm going to say a lot of wild stuff. And I don't want you to believe anything I say. I want you to prove all things and then hold fast that which is true. Be like the Bereans, more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they went and searched the scriptures to see if these things be of God. Prove all things and then hold fast that which is good. Here's an important one. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I love this sparkling apple juice. And now Treetop has come out with sparkling apple juice. But they put it in these large green bottles, you know, with a gold foil at the top and all. And I hate to buy it. Because I'm afraid someone will see me checking out and saying, oh, he's, you know, buying wine or champagne or something, you know, because of the bottle that they put it in. So sort of a dilemma. I want to abstain from all appearances of evil. But the Lord is taking care of that. Price Club has it in the case. And they're little 12-ounce bottles and no foil or anything. So I now get my sparkling apple juice. I do think that we need to be very sensitive on the appearances of things, to shun the appearance of evil. There are those couples that often come and say, well, we're living together in the same house, but we're not sleeping together. Well, who knows? You know, the neighbors, surely they don't know. And it has the appearance of evil. And we are told, and I think we need to abstain from all, even appearances of evil. We don't want to stumble anybody. And the very God of peace set you apart wholly or completely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. Notice, Paul recognizes the trichotomy of man. Your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body. The three parts of man's being. Body, soul, consciousness, and spirit. Spirit which is dead until we receive the lordship of Jesus Christ and we are made alive. Once dead in trespasses and sins, but now alive unto God through the Spirit. The Spirit has come alive. Now, psychology and humanism and the universities today teach the dichotomy of man. They teach that the soul and spirit of man are synonymous. It is only those who have been born again by the Spirit of God and experience the spiritual life that are trichotomous. And the reason why we are trichotomous is because our spirit has come alive. And we know that the spirit of man is separate and distinct from the consciousness of man. But the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, and neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So try to argue this with the natural man and you get nowhere. He has no way of understanding, no way of comprehending. And the Lord brought me to this after several arguments with the college professor in my sociology class on the subject of the soul and the spirit being separate entities, distinct. And he was a dichotomist, a humanist. And we went round and round until one day, as I went out of the class, talking to myself about that poor, ignorant man, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, look, you're trying to teach him something he cannot know. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. It is only when you're alive in the Spirit that you can understand the things of the Spirit, the realm of the Spirit. And so those who are natural, trying to approach the Word of God with the natural wisdom and understanding, become confused when you get to the realm of the Spirit. But he which is spiritual understands all things, though he is not understood. So your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is your whole man. God preserve me physically, my body. God preserve my mind, my consciousness, and God preserve my spirit blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Oh, how glorious to be called of God, because God is faithful, and having begun a good work in us, he will continue to perform it. Brethren, pray for us. In almost all of his epistles, Paul was asking the people to pray for him, as he mentions how he prays for them. And that's what the body of Christ is all about, bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ, praying one for another. Brethren, pray for us and greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, they're over in Greece. We went to church in Athens, and the brothers all came up and they kissed you on both cheeks. The practice is still there in Greece. They Rome, the same thing. The brothers all come up, kiss you on both cheeks, you know, and it's a neat experience. It's something that is sort of different to our culture here, but it is a common greeting in that area. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. So we've really sort of obeyed the commandment here in reading this epistle to all of you holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Pastor Chuck Smith once said, "Charisma is the natural anointing of God's Spirit, enabling a person to do the work of God. Charismania is a fleshly attempt to imitate that work, human effort replacing the power of the Spirit." In his powerful book, Charisma versus Charismania, Pastor Chuck addresses the confusion surrounding the gifts of the Holy Spirit in today's church. With biblical clarity and pastoral wisdom, he affirms the life and power the Holy Spirit brings, while warning against elevating experience above the authority of Scripture. Without a solid foundation in God's Word, believers become vulnerable to deception. Experience must never replace Scripture, and doctrine should never be built on experience alone. This insightful resource explores the true person and work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, the church, and the world, calling us back to discernment, humility, and Christ-centered faith. Discover the difference between true spiritual power and imitation. Order Charisma versus Charismania today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Charisma versus Charismania. Truth, balance, and the Spirit's work according to God's Word. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. May God help us to put into practice those things that he has taught us in his word. Following the exhortations of Paul, may we live a holy, righteous life before God and men, loving one another more and more as we look for that glorious day when our Lord shall come and we shall be changed by his Spirit into his own glorious image, according to his mighty power, whereby he is able to subdue all things to himself. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the peace of his Holy Spirit keep you in Christ, in Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Thessalonians on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Thessalonians 5. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.